Rejoicing in the rules today.
Good morning, Oscoda and Tawas areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you'll enjoy your time with me as we search the scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. or this evening at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services broadcast live on Facebook. You're welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me, 989-305-2721, or you can send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the scriptures. John the Baptist. Here was a man who was given the task of letting the world know that the Messiah, the Christ, was coming. He was the first calling for repentance in that day and age. He spoke of the coming kingdom of heaven. Early in the Gospel of Matthew, we learn that John lived in the wilderness, subsisting on locusts and wild honey. He stood opposed to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious and political leaders of Israel. And in chapter 11 of the Gospel of Matthew, we learn that John is in prison. But Matthew never tells us when John was put into prison, nor why he was in prison. Now, we can find that out from other Gospels. Matthew doesn't tell us because it isn't important to his point. Don't be distracted. What John does with Jesus while John is in prison is the important thing. And that's because God does things differently. Even John the Baptist struggles with this. Now, I'm not saying that John failed. After all, his job was to proclaim the coming Messiah, to call Israel to repentance, and that is certainly what John did. But even with his connection with God, his understanding of who God is, who Jesus was, he still had struggles. He still had questions for Jesus. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 1, to see this. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Well, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So that's chapter 11 of Matthew. What does Jesus say in this chapter that is so offensive? What does Jesus do that could possibly be offensive? Jesus says, do not be offended by what he does and says. Why does John have to ask if Jesus is the Christ, the one? He's the one who proclaimed that Jesus was the one. And yet here he's asking the question, why does he do this? Why does Jesus so strongly condemn people who don't repent? Because there's a lot of that in this chapter as well. Now, John the Baptist, he called for people to repent. That was part of his task, repentance, right? He lived the expected prophet lifestyle, as it were, a man with what we would consider bizarre habits. Jesus says of John that people considered him to have a demon because of how he lived. And yet many people listened to John, but not all of them. These cities that Jesus lists, they did not repent. Those who did listen, they repented. Repented of what? What did they need to repent of? Usually we think of, as Christians, we think, well, they need to repent of sin. But that's not what John spoke of, and that's not what Jesus is talking about, because these are faithful Jews. These are men and women who religiously worship God and observe the Lord's commandments, the Ten Commandments, and the rest of the law of Moses. These are faithful Jews. What were they doing that was so wrong that the whole nation, whole cities needed to be repentant? They were religious people, but see, they didn't know the Father, and they certainly didn't know the Son. When Jesus came, they rejected him, right? They weren't in the kingdom of heaven. John called them to enter the kingdom, and many people did this, but not all of them. Jesus called for them to repent, to enter the kingdom of heaven, and many people did this, but not all of them. And herein lies the problem. See, the message was delivered by John, and the same message was delivered by Jesus, and the same message was delivered by his apostles, and Jesus performed the signs, and so did the apostles. They performed signs as well, and many people listened, many people repented, but not all of them did. What does it take for people to repent? What does it take for people to follow Jesus? What does it take for people to listen to God? So many people say, well, if I heard the voice of God, I would follow him. When Jesus was baptized, the voice came from heaven. You weren't there, but there were plenty of witnesses. And they said they heard it. Is their testimony not good enough? There were people there who saw the miracles, saw the signs done by Jesus, done by his apostles, and that wasn't good of them. There's a lot of people today that'll say the same thing. Man, if I saw the signs, if I saw miracles, I would follow God. People in that day saw the signs and wonders and miracles, and a lot of people testified that they saw them. Wasn't good enough for everybody back then. And for those witnesses, are you saying that they're all liars? You weren't there. That's the point that Matthew's making in this chapter, chapter 11. God has done everything possible to get people to repent. And there's a day of judgment coming, and the people are rejecting the way to escape that day of judgment, as it were. You want a crazy prophet, God says? You got it. I will send John the Baptist. You want a friend of sinners? You got it, God says. I will send Jesus the Christ. You want miracles and signs? You got it. I will send the Holy Spirit. And numerous, not just Jesus, but the apostles, they will all give signs and wonders. Repent, follow me. Answer, never. This is humanity. Jesus pulls out all the stops here. Tyre, Sidon, Sodom, all of these cities that he names, not only were they condemned by God in the Old Testament, they were utterly destroyed for what they did, what they believed, how they acted. They were judged. There was a day of judgment for them, and they did not survive. And Jesus lets us know those cities that if they had heard, if they had seen the message that John and Jesus and the apostles were delivering, those cities, they would have repented. These people in Jesus' day, their hearts are so hard. And people today, we think we're so smart. People today, they're like, I would never end up like those cities. I'm not as bad as they are. Jesus makes it clear that such a thought is in error. Those cities would have repented in the day of Jesus if they still existed. As evil as they were, as terrible as they were, they would have repented when they heard the message, repent, for the day of judgment is coming. The people in Jesus' day, they heard the message, they saw the signs. You know what they did not do? They didn't repent. This brings us to the very last section of this chapter. Who is it who knows the message and listens to it? Who is it who actually repents at the preaching of John, the preaching of Jesus, the preaching of his apostles? Jesus prays about this in this chapter. He speaks about the wise and the understanding, and they don't understand this message. What? I thought God rewards those who are wise. I thought God wants us to be wise people. When Jesus points to the wise and the understanding in this section, he's talking about the self-proclaimed wise and understanding people. The type of people who think that they know it all. They know everything. They know what they're doing. They think they have it all together. They've got it all figured out. Listen, Tyre, Sidon, Sodom, they all thought that they had it together too. Jesus calls for us as Christians to be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. Our wisdom is to know that when God speaks, we listen. Well, this doesn't come from self-important people, but from those who are, as Jesus says, little children. Well, what are little children? It's not the issue of age. Jesus isn't talking about people that are only a year or two old or 3 or 5 years old. What is he talking about? Little children are people, well, look at little children. What do you find? You find that they are people who know they have no power. They have no authority. They have no control over the world. Little children are those who have to rely on adults for protection, for guidance, for direction, for provision and survival. And God calls us to be little children towards him. Does that sound like the so-called religious experts? No, they're busy relying on themselves. And so God says, I want little children in my kingdom. I don't need those guys. And this is the message Jesus gives us at the end of this chapter. He provides. Are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to let Jesus provide for you? What does Jesus provide? And the answer is, he provides rest. Jesus uses the example of the learning yoke here. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. See, a learner's yoke is not like a standard yoke. A learner's yoke for oxen involves two sides. One side is for the younger ox, and it's designed to train the ox how to work without having to pull any significant weight. The other side is for the older ox, the ox that's been yoked for many, many years, many, many times. And that yoke, that ox has all the weight, all the labor as that ox trains the younger ox. And Jesus says this. He says, learn from me. That means that Jesus is willing to do all the work for us with his yoke if we're willing to put on his yoke, if we're willing to take his yoke, the learner's yoke, and to follow Jesus. Now, we all wear yokes, whether it's Jesus's yoke or somebody else's. And if it isn't Jesus's yoke that you're wearing, whose yoke do you have on? And who is in the other side of the yoke with you? Take a look. Who do you partner with? Where do you spend your time? Where's your labor and your energy? And does this yoke give you rest? Does this yoke make your burden light? Because I guarantee you it doesn't if it's not Jesus's. See, Jesus offers a yoke of training, and it's easy and light for us. A yoke with rest for your soul, Jesus says. Is your soul at rest? How is your life today? It's weird, isn't it? What does Jesus offer us? Answer, rest, light burdens. These are things that anyone would jump at. How do we get these things? And Jesus says, come to me. Whoa, wait a minute. I want rest. I want light burdens, but I have to follow Jesus? Are you sure? And the answer is yes. Well, what's the catch? This sounds too easy. Well, remember, John, Jesus, and the apostles, they all called for repentance. Repentance of what? Not necessarily of sin, but repentance of living the way the world lives. It's time to do things differently. And we need to be trained how to do that, which means we need a learner's yoke. We need to be with Jesus, following his guidance, his instruction. See, how differently does things happen with God? And the answer is, remember John the Baptist? John the Baptist wasn't doing things differently the way God does things. He was doing things, and he was doing things the way God instructed him. But that's not what Jesus and God calls us to do. He doesn't call us all to be John the Baptist followers. What about Jesus? Jesus fulfilled the role of the party animal, as it were, even though he really wasn't. And that isn't quite what God calls us to be. We'll come back to that. What about the apostles? Man, the apostles, they were new to the game. They're following Jesus' instructions. They're learning. They have the training yoke on them. And so Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom, those cities, they had preaching. They were warned. They didn't have miracles and signs. But now, here in Matthew 11, the call is repent, meaning follow Jesus, let him train you, teach you, and there's more than enough proof and incentive to repent. Follow Jesus. The world has this idea that those who follow Jesus need to be like John the Baptist. If we needed to be like John the Baptist, we would follow John, not Jesus. Jesus is different. Jesus was able to walk amongst us, to walk amongst the tax collectors and sinners, and yet he sinned not. Now, Jesus doesn't call us to be like the sinners and the tax collectors. He calls them to be like him, just as he calls all of us to be like him. This is part of the learning from Jesus. Jesus doesn't call us to be different from himself. Jesus calls us to take his own yoke and learn from him. This is the plan from Jesus and the Father. Jesus offers a prayer in verse 25 to the Father, and he thanks the Father for those who were rejected, the self-important, wise, and understanding people, and revealing things to the little children. Pride is one of the reasons why people reject Jesus. Don't let your pride keep you from the kingdom of heaven. If you possibly think that you might be one that Jesus and the Father excluded from the kingdom, know that it isn't really Jesus and the Father that do so. Everyone's invited. Those who think that they're excluded only do so because they refuse to be little children. They refuse to take Jesus's yoke. They want to struggle along with their own yoke, never looking over to see who they are yoked to. Who are they working with? And again, if it isn't Jesus that you're yoked to, you have a heavy burden that you do not have to bear. Rise to the challenge today. Throw off the heavy yoke. Switch to Jesus' learning yoke. He promises you rest and light burdens. The message has been given. The signs have been shown. Now, this morning, today, the choice is up to you. Let me encourage you not to follow Tyre, not to follow Sidon, not to follow Sodom, not to follow Chorazin, not to follow Bethsaida, not to follow Capernaum. But instead, let me encourage you today, follow Jesus, take his yoke, because he provides rest, rest for your soul. But you have to follow Jesus. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just 1 mile north of F41 on Cedar Lake Road in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me, 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.